listening to Hear the Turtle. Your hosts are Taylor Slythe and Keith Snedden.
It's game week in College Park. Football is back at the University of Maryland. Terps taking on Howard this weekend, Keith, and it's always exciting to kick off a new football season.
This Saturday, man, for week one of the college football season, Joe Beninati, Chuck Long on the call here in College Park, Capital One Field at Maryland Stadium. Hopefully you're here enjoying the great weather at Maryland Stadium with us. But if not, tune in on BTN and see the beginning of the Mike Locksley era.
All the sports are back, Heath, but we're going to specifically focus on football right now as we enter an exciting new era, as you said, under head coach Michael Locksley. The DMV godfather himself is at the helm of the Maryland Terrapins and was the interim coach a couple years ago, but makes his official debut as the head coach against Howard. And you and I both have three things that Terp fan needs to know. Keith, you have your three.
I have mine.
Let's start with you, Keith. Your first thing Terps fans need to know as we head into the 2019 season.
Well, this is perfect for the season opener because Maryland has performed well in season openers here in recent history. 9 consecutive season opening wins dating back to 2010. I think that loss in 2009 was to California, my freshman year at Maryland.
Wow.
So a ways back.
So they have not lost in the Smythe era.
They have not.
Since freshman year of college. Let's keep that rolling. I have never left.
It's the fifth longest streak among Power 5 schools in the country, trailing only Ohio State, Alabama, Utah, and Michigan State. In a 9-game streak, Maryland's outscored opponents by an average of margin of 16 points, including those 2 games against Texas last season. Taylor, Maryland's the only team in that stretch, along with Alabama, to beat 2 ranked teams in those season opening games. So, gotten off to a pretty good start in recent years.
And you can't go anywhere without getting off to a good start. Obviously, the last 2 seasons, as you said, have been against Texas. 2 humongous wins, 1 down in Austin last year in FedEx Field. This a little bit of a different opponent. Terps expected to beat Howard. But you want to get off to a good start and play well. And my first thing to know, and it's a unit that's going to play very well, is be afraid. Fear, as it were, the Maryland running back unit. A huge amount of depth. We talked to Javon Leake and Jake Funk last week. We've talked to Tayon Fleet Davis and Anthony McFarland on the show before. Lowell Harrison, we will have you on at some point because all of these guys are absolute superstars. Obviously, the headliner is Anthony McFarland, who had an unbelievable freshman campaign last year after coming in as a heralded recruit from DeMatha, then sitting out that year because of the injury, but he pretty much did everything and is expected to potentially be one of the best running backs in the country this season. Set the Maryland record for single-season rushing yards by a freshman last season with a little over 1,000, 1,034, an all-Big Ten selection and expected to be all-everything this year. He leads a group, but the guy that excites me in terms of getting more touches, Keith, is Javon Leake. Explosive stuff last year when he's gotten time. That Illinois game sticks out, and he seemed really poised when we talked to him last week to have a big time year.
Not only as a running back, but as a returner in the kickoff game. Probably will see his name called in that respect. So as well-known, you know, household names there are in the running back room, the wide receivers, there's going to maybe be looking for a breakout guy this year. That's my number 2 thing. Who steps up at wide receiver this season, Taylor? The loss of Jayshon Jones to injury in the preseason. Graduation of last year's leading wide out, Tavon Jacobs. There's some shoes to fill in that receiving game. Some names you may not be as familiar with at this point, Darryl Jones, Dante Demas, along with senior DJ Turner. He's going to get his shot this year in a more refined role in Mike Locksley's offense. Also going to look out for some transfers. Sean Savoy, who transferred from Virginia Tech with quarterback Josh Jackson. And I think you may see the tight end play a much larger role in that receiving game, Taylor. And I think you had mentioned something about the tight ends and one of your things to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tyler Mabry is the guy to look at there. The transfer from Buffalo, graduate transfer. You'll hear on an interview later with Maryland's new starting quarterback, Josh Jackson, about the type of skill set that Mabry brings to the table. And as you said, Keith, the tight ends have not gotten a ton of love in the receiving game over the past few years. And I think they will be featured more in this Mike Locksley offense. But yeah, the Maryland receivers are going to have to step up. Maybe that number 1 for DJ Turner gives him a little bit of magic after DJ Moore and Stephon Diggs, a couple of very, very good pass catchers, wore that number. But as you said, you talked about Sean Savoy. You talked about Tyler Mabry. My second thing to know for Maryland football as we head into the season opener against Howard, look out for the transfers. Michael Oxley did a very good job not only finishing out his recruiting class with guys like Nick Cross to sort of highlight that freshman coming class, but did a great job on the transfer market. And the two guys that we talked to a couple weeks ago that Terp fans are excited about, Keandre Jones and Shaq Smith at linebacker, Shaq coming from Clemson, Keandre coming from Ohio State, didn't ever really get featured there. Shaq was, you know, was potentially going to be a starter at Clemson this year. Keandre was sort of a rotation player, but those guys give the Terps some talent after losing Trey Watson at linebacker and fitting with a young linebacking crew that includes Chance Campbell and Ace Ellie. They should be able to sort of supplement that group. As I talked about, Tyler Mabry helped the Terps a lot. Sean Savoy's had a very good camp. His word out of camp at receiver. And then obviously Josh Jackson is the Maryland starting quarterback after helming that position at Virginia Tech as a freshman, getting hurt last year. He is now the, you know, the leader of this Maryland offense, leading them into this new era with Michael Oxley. The transfers are going to be a play a big, big part in what Maryland does this season. And all of them are very, very talented. So it should be interesting to see what they do, Keith.
My third thing to watch for Maryland football this season, Taylor, the secondary. Will it be a strength? 18 interceptions last season, the most since 2010 at Maryland, the fifth highest mark in the country, second best in the Big Ten. They hit a pick in the first 11 games last season. Only two teams in the country to have an interception in 11 of 12 games. But a lot of those players are gone. Trey Watson, Darnell Savage, Rayvon Davis, Byron Coward have all moved on. So can they get some of that same turnover production from a solid core of returners in that secondary unit? Antoine Brooks, we've had on the show in the past. Tino Ellis, who we had a few weeks back on. They're going to kind of be those leaders in that secondary room, that meeting room. Can they be able, you know, are they going to be able to, you know, produce a lot of those turnovers that can change games?
Yeah, one of the reasons the Terps got some of those turnovers, you talked about guys like Byron Coward and Trey Watson, not guys that play in the secondary, but Watson was a ball-hawking middle linebacker, and when Coward was a guy that got to the quarterback, and that can force some of those type of things. Some of those younger guys you're going to have to look out to, especially at safety. Jordan Mosley's a guy that's going to have to play well. Deion Jones, our favorite media relations intern, he's going to have to play a part. So a lot of those young guys are going to have to step up in their roles. It's interesting, in the offensive, you know, receiver, and then in the secondary, you have a lot of young guys that have to step up on both sides, and those camp battles have to have been fantastic between some of those young DBs and young receivers. As I talked about, Nick Cross is a much heralded recruit out at DeMatha, a four-star guy that could potentially contribute right away, is on the depth chart this week, and it'll be interesting to see how John Hoke, Maryland's new defensive coordinator, employs a guy like Antoine Brooks. Antoine was a little bit of a rover last year, played a little nickel, played a little safety. Seems like a guy that could move inside and play a little linebacker if he needed to. Looks like he's going to start at a more traditional, potentially strong safety type position. He's so good in run support and just filling up gaps. He's going to be very interesting to watch. Antoine is a guy that exudes so much talent. It'd be interesting to see how John Hoke employs him. My third thing, Keith, and I'm going to keep it pretty simple here, is what do we see from this Michael Oxley offense? Set all the records in the world with Tua Tagovailoa and all of those talented offensive guys to get to the College Football Playoff National Championship game at Alabama. We've seen him have great offensive success at a place like Illinois in the late 2000s when they made the Rose Bowl with guys like Juice Williams and Rashard Mendenhall. And he has got this very talented young group of running backs. He's got an experienced quarterback in Josh Jackson and some decent guys behind him. A guy like Tyrell Pigram's got a lot of college experience. And then you have a talented guy, Lance Rejon, who's very, the freshman who's very talented out of Louisiana. And then he's got to employ these receivers. So how do we see him? Does he make sort of the up-tempo style that we saw from a guy like Walt Bell years ago? He's not going to have the same type of motion that Matt Canada had last year where people are moving all around. It's going to be a little bit more of a traditional offense. But I think Michael Oxley's got the opportunity with, as you said, you have Chig at tight end, you have Mabry at tight end, a lot of different weapons to kind of hopefully produce some of the similar type of explosive offense that we saw at Alabama last season for the Terps. That'll put them in the position to win a lot of games in the Big Ten.
Is it Saturday yet, Taylor?
I'm getting excited. I just talked over myself. I'm talking so fast. I'm just so excited for Maryland football to be back. It's just incredibly exciting for Michael Oxley to take the helm of this program. A guy who's from here, understands the history. We've seen that as he's gone through the preseason. And just feels like the family atmosphere is really developed over there. You can see that on all of the Maryland social media channels. The karaoke night, the themed dinner night. These guys just seem like they have a really good culture. And the thing we talked about all last year, Keith, was how much this team stayed together after some of the stuff that happened, obviously, that was so tragic for the team. And they just always they created such a tight-knit culture. And it was really a beautiful thing to watch. And I think that's carried over. And it's one of the things Mike Loxley has really commented on about how he didn't have to come in and reunify this team. They were already unified around each other. They've now unified around their head coach. And it'll be exciting to watch them this Saturday. But that's enough of listening to me and Keith. Let's hear from the new leader of this Maryland offense, QB1 Josh Jackson, won a very good camp battle against Tyrell Pigram, Tyler Tsu, Max Bortenschlager, all these different quarterbacks involved. Josh, a transfer from Virginia Tech, got into a lot of different things with him, sort of his mindset transitioning over to Maryland, Keith, about his dad, who really coached him a lot. But let's get to Josh and hear his thoughts as we head into the season opener. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with the newly named starting quarterback of the Maryland football team, Josh Jackson. Josh, thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate you having me.
First of all, you come off a season which you were injured last year, Virginia Tech. You transfer over here. You win the starting job. What's the last sort of year been like as you change schools and now become the starting quarterback here in College Park?
It's definitely been different, and it's definitely been a bit of a journey, I guess you could say. Like all spring, I was mainly by myself working out and making sure I stayed in shape and stayed ready for when I got here. And then once I got here, it was all about work and, you know, trying to be the best quarterback I can be. And camp was a great competition with me, Piggy, Tyler, Lance, Max, everybody that was really in it. And I'm just glad, you know, I was able to win the job, and it was definitely a journey. So,
Josh, what was it like kind of getting back into the flow of things, practicing every day? You know, was it just picking up right where you left off, or were you kind of shaking the rust off a little bit at
first? It was definitely an adjustment, because you can only work yourself out so hard by yourself without a coach. So once you get thrown into workouts and everything, it took me probably a week or so, and then I finally got back into it and into that, like, you know, certain shape, I guess you could say. But, yeah, it was a little bit. Both me and Tyler Mabry hit a little bit of a shock when we first got back, so. But it was good. It was good for us.
What was going through your head as you were sort of working yourself out by yourself, where you're sort of uncertain about where you're going to be once you come into a football season after having so much success that freshman year at Virginia Tech? You sort of entered that uncertainty part of it. Was that sort of adversity to get over? How did you kind of go through that?
I liked it. I could work out when I wanted to, and I had my own schedule, and I could, you know, enjoy myself. Like on the weekends, I went to, you know, traveled a little bit. So it was nice not having to fall for a few months. But so I took advantage of it, because I knew I wasn't going to be like that for a while. But it was nice. Like, I got to work out with my friend, or my roommate back then, Sam. And we got to work out together. We ran together. We played basketball. We threw. Everything was really with my roommate. So that made it easy to stay in shape and stay ready to go.
Josh, when you're going through that transfer process, what about Mike Locksley's offense at Alabama, or maybe your relationship with him kind of led you to believe that, you know what, I may be a good fit in his system at Maryland?
Yeah, like watching his offense with Tua was, you know, it was pretty easy to see that that's some things that I can do. Not saying I'm like Tua, that he's in his own world, but, you know, just seeing that the RPOs, the drop back passes and everything like that, and that they don't run the quarterback too much, which was always nice to see, so. It was easy to like his offense, and then with this coach, he seemed like a very cool guy. My dad had known him, so that gave me a little bit of connection and, you know, a sense of trust with him. So it wasn't too hard.
What's it been like working with him and quarterback coach Scotty Montgomery over the past few weeks at camp? Obviously, those guys have been a part of some successful offenses in the past. How have you progressed under their tutelage so far?
Yeah, I've definitely progressed. During camp, I was seeing everything for the first time. With offense and going against this defense. So with them behind me and helping me throughout learning it and just the process of getting back to practice, because I didn't have a spring ball. So they're with me, and I've stayed extra so I can learn it, and just so that I was not behind when we got into camp.
Josh, you mentioned your father, Fred, been a coach for over 40 years. Growing up, I mean, was it just football all the time in your house? I mean, were you just kind of at an early age throwing the ball around, and just that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, he taught me how to throw a football when I was about 2 years old with one of those baby footballs. And so, yeah, it's been football, but he wasn't the dad or the coach that would have me in the backyard drilling me on three-step drops, five-step drops, or anything like that. He was a lot more laid back when he got home and kind of wanted to be away from it, but me and my brother always wanted to be playing it. So, it was very, very awesome to have a dad that was a coach, and the way he handled it and how he raised me and my brother was awesome.
And what was his advice to you kind of throughout this process, or did he have any kind of, you know, info on Coach Locksley when you're going through the transfer process?
He had known Locks, I think, for around 20 years. He said how he used to beat him a lot in recruiting, and, so that was kind of an icebreaker for all of us when on my official, because he was kind of talking crap to him, but and he knew Joker Phillips as well. Yeah. He did not know Coach Montgomery, but yeah, I mean, he's always supportive of me. He just told me to just when in the off season or when I was off, I guess you could say, just be the best you can be, do everything you can to make sure you stay ready, and then here, just take it one day at a time. And again, just one thing he harped is just be the best you can be. So.
Dad had a pretty good recruiter then when he was a kid.
Yeah, he was. So, yeah, no, he was a good recruiter.
What's it been like for him to see you sort of go through the transition of being at Virginia Tech and having that success, which is what any dad would want, and I'm sure your brother thought that as well, and then kind of coming through the adversity and getting here. What have sort of there been that advice during that time?
I mean, we'd kind of been down this path, I guess, before because I transferred high schools. I went to Ann Arbor Huron High School, and that was a very much not a football school. I started varsity as a freshman there, and then we went 0-9, and it was very tough, and it made me play one more season. I think I lasted about 2 games, and I just kept getting beat up, and he took me out, and he said, we're going to find you a good spot on where you need to go. And then after graduating from Tech, we thought it would be best that I move on, and we found a great place here, and he's just always been there for me.
First of all, you graduated from Tech early.
Mm-hmm.
It took me over this amount of semesters I needed to graduate. How the heck did you do that while playing football? I mean, come on.
three years, right?
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah, three you embarrassed me. It took me four and a semester. I just put myself out there.
Well, they make you take summer classes every time, so that's how you kind of get ahead. So I would kind of have a lighter load in the fall, heavier in the spring, and then in the summer you can take like 6 credits or 9 credits. So yeah, I'm not nothing special, but so it's just the way they set it up.
And so you graduated with a degree in psychology. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read this so I get it right. And now you're pursuing a professional studies master's degree in technology entrepreneurship. First of all, what does that mean, and what does that entail,
so
and what are you hoping
means,
to get out of that?
That means I was too late to apply for the psych program here. Uh-huh. So I got into the Masters of Entrepreneurship, yep, which is a very long name for a master's. But I got into that, so I'm going to do that. And then I'll hopefully transition into clinical psychology, which is what I really want to do.
Sure.
So hopefully I'll be able to start classes with that in the spring.
So technological entrepreneurship, though, maybe we can just get you to promote our podcast. I mean, we're trying to. We're sort of technology.
Why not?
That could work.
That counts for that something.
Although clinical psychology sounds like you're going to do some good work. So maybe we don't take you down.
Don't play any mind games with us.
Exactly.
No mind games.
Speaking of going on in your mind, what's going to be going through your mind when you run out on this field on Saturday? Starting quarterback, something you've done before. So it's going to be nothing different from that perspective, but with a different uniform on in a different stadium, representing a different culture and program. What's that going to be like for you?
Sorry for a bleak answer, but it's just going to be the same. I mean, it's not.
Sometimes that's what it is.
So I'm sure there'll be butterflies because of the first game. But other than that, I'm just going out, try to be the best quarterback I can, and try to win some games. So that's really how I'm looking at it.
You got some weapons on that offensive side, sure, especially your running backs, Anthony McFarland, Javon Leak, all those guys behind, mm-hmm, them. And then some young receivers that you're going to have to sort of help develop. And then a more veteran one in DJ Turner.
Yeah.
What do you see from the guys around you that you can utilize on Saturdays?
Oh, we have some weapons. You forgot Fleet is also another.
Yeah, there's too many running backs to talk about. I would be here forever.
Jake Funk, Lolo.
Yes. That's all you got to say with the running backs. Receivers are young, but they're very talented, and sometimes you just got to push them. But they're having a great great camp, and going into this game week, they're some hard workers. So looking forward to them. And you forgot our tight ends are going to be very big. Tyler Mabry and Chig. Are two great tight ends, both whom I think will have a very big impact. I think Noah Barnes will even contribute as well. And, we definitely have some weapons.
Talk about Mabry specifically. You know, Chig and Barnes are guys Terp fans saw last year, but Mabry is sort of a new, mm-hmm, weapon for this offense and someone that Terp fans haven't seen. How do you sort of describe his game? Seen some good highlights from him in some of the scrimmages this year. You guys connecting.
He's about 6'3", 6'4", 255 pounds, 250 pounds. He's got great hands. He's a physical guy. He's a hard worker, too, and he can play. So should be looking forward to seeing him.
Sounds like the total package to me, Keith. We'll get you out of here in a little bit of rapid fire. First of all, okay, the music artist you're listening to right now.
The music artist. What genre?
When you're throwing Spotify on, iTunes on, whatever, what's the first thing that's coming on?
I'll probably just say Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good one?
Yeah.
Last movie you saw?
Hobbs and Shaw. We all went to see Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, as a team. Okay.
What'd you think?
I like The Rock. I love The Rock. So okay. Like anything he puts out, I like. So it was very far-fetched and a very Fast and Furious-ish, obviously.
Crazy stuff happening.
The Rock just doesn't do normal movies. It's not simple.
I don't know if you guys seen it, but there's a part where he literally holds a helicopter like in the air like with his arm. And it's awesome. And I totally believe he could do it in real life.
The TV show you're streaming right now or watching or whatever, however you've consuming it.
I'm watching Power.
It's been a popular one.
Yeah, I'm on season 4, and I actually just got a spoiler today, so that's unfortunate. I need to
get that. Are you going to call out who was the culprit there? Are you gonna,
I'm not going to call.
You're not happy with that person.
No.
Spoilers are the worst.
We will find that person. We'll bring them the spoiler justice shot. You can't
almost
have that.
Worse than a Game of Thrones, but yeah, it's bad. So.
Big question here, but most memorable or favorite play of your career so far?
I'll say my first touchdown against West Virginia. Hmm. That was pretty cool. Or actually, no, I'll go to – I had a big run against West Virginia, and I got flipped on my head, which people wouldn't think is very memorable. But it was about, a 45-yard run. It was late in the third quarter, and I saw a corner. He was hawking. I'm not that fast, so, like, he was catching up to me. And I didn't think he would take my legs out. But he did, and he flipped me on top of my head, and I landed about the 1 or 2 yard line. And that was a big time play in the game. But I just remember looking over to the sideline and seeing our head strength coach, Ben Hilgart, literally jumping up, going crazy, and I can barely like see straight. And it was awesome. So that's probably most memorable. So.
Finally, we asked this to everyone, your favorite place to eat in College Park?
Mm. Favorite place to eat.
You're still early in the game.
Yeah, it's true. Well, a lot of other guys have more experience here.
We'll say I don't go there too often, but Nando's. Very
solid.
Very good food. I'll go with that. I won't say Chipotle or anything like that. But
that's fine.
We get plenty of Chipotle.
We've gotten many Chipotles. Then people have to go through their orders and everything. Nando's, we don't get a lot, so good, unique.
That's good. Their whole like chicken that you can get and like
I'm a quarter chicken guy usually.
I share it.
Keith, you normally go with a half chicken.
It's very good.
If I'm hungry.
Bulking season.
That's right. Summer of gains.
Coming to the end of summer of gains because we're getting to the fall because it's football season. Josh Jackson, the new starting quarterback of Maryland football. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck on Saturday for the rest of the year.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Josh.
Keith, some fantastic stuff from Josh Jackson right there, and he looks like he's going to be the right man to helm this Terps offense as they head into Howard, and I can't wait for Saturday.
Confident, cool, calm, collective. He's the guy you want with the ball in his hands, taking the first snap on Saturday.
Absolutely right. The moment is not going to get too big for him. He's been in this situation, started as a freshman, so the guy's dealt with all the pressure at a big school like Virginia Tech, so nothing about the Power 5 nature and Big 10 nature. It's not like a guy coming from a smaller school. He's been in the ringer, and he's ready to go. So that was great stuff from Josh Jackson. Really have to thank all of our football players we've had throughout training camp. Make sure you go back and listen to them. Keandre Jones and Shaq Smith were fantastic. Enjoyed our conversation with Jake Funk and Javon Leak. And our guy Deion Jones with Tino Ellis were absolutely fantastic. And we'll be talking to football players each week throughout the season as we move through the 2019 campaign. Then we'll have all the particulars from all your fall sports coaches and players. Make sure to go listen to our fall sports preview that also drops this week. Has a bunch of great stuff with all of our fall sports head coaches. But that's enough for us and our football preview. Make sure to follow Hear the Turtle on all your social media channels. At Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram, Sneds311 for my fantastic co-host who can do more pull-ups than me in the office. At TaylorSmith10
for me. Don't leave that one out.
Oh, can't leave that one out. I mean, that's one of the most. I mean, you want great tweets about Taylor Swift. That's really where you need to go. And Maryland Athletics, sometimes. We'll see you next week.
Go Terps.